Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie is a simple email. Tom McNally. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're one of the 65 million people that have already voted in the US presidential election, officially next Tuesday. Can I ask you, what way did you vote?
For the best man for the job, Donald J. Trump.
Okay, why did you vote for him?
I lived in America for years, Joe. I have three sisters and a brother in Boston. I go back regularly. And since he's been elected, the job he's done. A politician, for a change, he's actually kept his promises. The U.S. economy was booming. It was the number one economy in the world before the world was hit by COVID. But like I said, three sisters and a brother. The economy was booming. In the three and a half years he's been in, he has done so much for the country, despite everything that's been against him. It's refreshing to actually see a politician who's not working for the ruling class, who's actually working for the working class. And that's what Trump has done. I know the media doesn't tell that story, but it's exactly what he's done. So I couldn't be happier with the job that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
COVID has definitely changed things, and I don't know how his opponent, Joe Biden, makes it out that it's Donald Trump's fault somehow. But like I said, just where I look at everything he's done since he's been president, the economy was booming. He deregulated to bring jobs back, lowered taxes. He had the lowest unemployment in the history of the country for Black, Hispanic, Asian, and women. America became energy independent. So we no longer had to rely on the Middle East and all the chaos that goes on in the Middle East. He stated from the beginning he was against senseless wars in the Middle East. He's been bringing troops home. He's made peace deals with Israel, which nobody thought would happen. He's increased rates.
Yeah, but he wasn't at war with Israel.
No, but in the Middle East, so many of the countries, whether it's Iran or Palestine, they openly admit their goal is the extermination of Israel. But where the United Arab Emirates and Qatar and these other countries, Trump went at it from a different angle. Rather than just trying to get Israel and Palestine to agree to peace, he went to these other countries and made them realize that oil could be on the way out. So for the economies.
And what do you think, you mentioned your brothers, did they vote in the election as well, Tom?
They will be voting.
And do you know which way?
Everybody I know, Joe. Well, Boston is a hugely Democratic city.
Yeah.
We have a mayor, Marty Walsh, who I know, with Connemara connections.
Yeah.
But they're all pro-Trump. One of my sisters is a police officer. Trump is very pro-law enforcement, but Boston's a huge Democratic city. We grew up, we campaigned for Democrat candidates. One of the nicest politicians I ever met in my life was Ray Flynn, who later became the ambassador to the Vatican. Worked for Ray for years. And in the past, my family's worked for Marty Walsh.
For a Democrat, okay.
Yes, but I'm down in Mayo, and I'm basically seeing a fall, but I've always voted for Michael Ring because I've always thought Michael Ring has worked very hard for people. Mm. So I always look at the person and their policies. I mean, the media doesn't like Trump because he's turned his back on the ruling class. And it's the ruling class that runs America, just like it's the ruling class that runs Ireland.
And we'll go back to that in a sec. But do you think there's a conspiracy in all the newspapers and broadcasts and cable channels? They've all come together, with a few exceptions, obviously, to And all of these people who've resigned or been sacked, all these people who've written books, unending books, from relatives, the people who worked for him, people who loved him, according to Michael Cohen, and they've all, almost to a man and a woman, turned on him.
No, but I mean, if
is that a conspiracy?
A lot of the media in America, and CNN, NBC, ABC, if you look at who runs them, a lot of their husbands or their wives are former top Democrats. So it's only natural. I mean, I told you, I lived in Boston. The president before Trump, Barack Obama, who we found out had connections in Offaly. But his aunt, I read his first book, and he talks in glowing terms about his aunt Zitouni. He visited her when he went back to Kenya, where his father came from, and mentioned this woman, Rachel Times. She was in Boston for about 25 years, illegally, but she was living in a housing project. She died in a nursing home on her own. He never even went to visit her. So, if you want, you can write books about everyone. You can put a negative side to everyone. But the media in general, it's kind of obvious. When you see what's going on with Joe Biden now, and, I mean, his son Hunter left his laptop in a computer shop and didn't pick it up. So the owner of the computer shop took ownership of it, and he tried to turn it over to law enforcement when he seen what was on it. And they weren't interested in it, but Rudy Giuliani. But a lot of the media now is telling us it's Russian disinformation.
And would you trust Rudy Giuliani as far as you throw him at this stage?
I mean, even that, from knowing the man's past, he was a very successful mayor in New York City. He was a mayor at 9/11.
Yeah, but he seems to...
He was a former prosecutor. It was him that took down the mafia in America, the families in New York. It was Rudy Giuliani. But the point is, Joe, even you bringing that up, it's Hunter Biden's laptop.
The last time I looked, I know there's more than two candidates on the ballot paper, but Hunter Biden is not on the ballot paper.
No, but his father, Joe, is.
So?
And in this laptop, he was...
Donald Trump's children aren't on the ballot paper.
But if Donald Trump was the vice president, Joe Biden was the vice president, he was dealing with the Ukraine, Russia, and China for the president, Barack Obama. And Hunter Biden was flying on Air Force One to China and to these other countries with his father, the vice president. And then he was getting all these deals. Burisma.
Okay, well, again, in terms of verification, I know there's circumstantial, but anyway, there's like his children, Trump's children at this stage are banned from running charities because they discovered the charity they were running was for their own benefit. Anyway, the list is endless. But anyway, Tom, it's not me and you. It's you and other people who have the vote in the States. So it's joe@rte.ie. Phil O'Dwyer. Phil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Phil, have you voted yet?
I have. I voted the other day.
And can I ask the same question as I asked Tom McNally? His answer was Donald Trump. Who did you vote for, sir?
I voted for Joe Biden.
Why?
Because he is an honest, decent, truthful person. All of which contrast starkly with the present incumbent of the White House.
It's as black and white as that. It's as stark as that.
It's as black and white as that. I mean, in every respect, in the last 3.5 years or so, President Trump has damaged probably the pillars of the country. From the justice system, from the international relations, from putting children in cages down on the border against Mexico, denial of climate change, denial of science, the mismanagement, the gross mismanagement of the COVID. For example, 2 days ago, we had 80,000 people infected with the virus, new people. That is the highest since this thing began. We are going totally in the wrong way. We have 250,000 people dead. And he continues to say, we've turned the corner. We've solved the problem. The lies are endless every single day. And so, you know, his support is strong amongst certain sections of the country. The white supremacists are certainly behind him. You've seen the governor of Michigan was about to be kidnapped. You saw that probably on TV. And all he could say is, stand by and stand down. In other words, be ready. These are dog whistles to extremists in the country. And so the ordinary people, you know, are struggling with anxiety and worry about the country, number one, and, of course, the virus, number two. So we're in a pretty sorry state. And when you talk about what he's done for the economy, you need to look at history a little bit. When George Bush left the White House, we were losing over 300,000 jobs per month. And Obama and Joe Biden took over. And over the period of 8 years, we were adding 300,000 jobs per month. And so he was handed a thriving economy. And all he did there was to cut taxes for billionaires and gave them a windfall. That's the only thing he's done. Now we have the situation with the Supreme Court justice. He bulldozed this through, Amy Coney Barrett, and the vote was yesterday. We have thousands of small businesses and people losing their jobs, and they are in food lines right now. They are barely surviving, trying to feed their families, trying to pay their mortgages, and not a whit of support or help. For example, the Senate has gone home now after forcing through the Barrett appointment to the Supreme Court. But they couldn't pass a bill that's gone through the Congress, but they couldn't pass it. They had to go home. So talk about what he's done for poor people. It is horrendous to the world's end. And then on top of that, to announce that he will not leave office if he doesn't feel the election was fair and square. He's the president who runs the elections, number one. And number two, this whole question of leaving office. Nobody, no leader of any country comes out every day questioning the validity of the voting system and the election that they are on. I mean, it is totally mind-boggling.
Do you want to reply, Tom McNally?
Yeah, it's just comical talking points. It's absurd. He's O'Dwyer, I think. I forget his first name.
Phil O'Dwyer.
Phil.
He's in Michigan, yeah.
It's some ridiculous talking point. I heard him on about cages. First of all, I'm sure he's very well aware who built the cages.
Okay,
Barack Obama.
The cages came up last week in the debate.
Yeah.
I'm not going down the road of cages because it's not.
All right, nobody wants to see children, Joe.
But yeah, but I saw a detailed article in the. And now again, when I mention a newspaper, you will say these are all biased. But it was in the Washington Post at the weekend about cages and where cages come from and why they were originally built that particular way, which was because of the oppressive weather and all that carry on. But anyway, the cages thing is Donald Trump brought it up last week. But what do you think of what Phil O'Dwyer is saying, Tom, about the tax cuts were for the rich?
It's nonsense. The average income for the average American family went up by over 5,000, Joe. The new one is the Supreme Court. There's 9 Supreme Court justices. When one goes, the American Constitution, which the American government is supposed to run by, states that the president is supposed to nominate somebody, which Trump is the president until January, even if he loses. So he did his constitutional duty. He nominated Amy Coney Barrett, who is a fabulous, very qualified, everybody agrees she's qualified. Then it has to go to the Senate, and the Senate confirms her. Right now, the Republicans have control of the Senate.
Yeah.
So they were able to push it through. If Barack Obama was still president and he had control of the Senate, they would have done the same thing. That is what the Constitution tells us we're supposed to do.
Have you ever heard of an organization called the Tax Policy Center, Tom?
Well,
according to what, again, I don't know if you can have any, there's no reflection on you, Tom, by the way. I don't know if you can have any level-headed debate about the presidential election, because the Tax Policy Center in the US are regarded as non-partisan. In other words, a non-party political. Mm-hmm. They say 60% of the tax savings went to people in the top 20% of the income ladder. He also slashed the corporate tax rate by 40%. Corporate tax revenues fell 31% in the first year after the cut. Overall, tax revenues have declined as a share of the economy in each of the 2 years since the tax cut took effect. They also say that manufacturing jobs are down. They have this whole mantra from Donald Trump, we'd bring all the businesses back home, including pharmaceutical businesses from Ireland. But the fact is that the cost of setting up and organising and employing in the States is so much higher, that the pharma companies, whatever companies, have been forced to go back. I think an American car manufacturer who was in, I think it was Korea, moved back. But they abandoned it after a while because it was too expensive, and then they discovered actually we should have more robots doing more of the work in that sense. But anyway.
Very simply, under Obama, the growth was at 1 or 2%. And Obama made a speech how this was the new norm. We had to get used to it. And when Trump said he was going to have it up at 3 and 4 and 5, everybody remembers Obama laughing that Trump was going to wave magic wand. That's what Trump did. The corporation tax in America was at 39%. That's why so many companies like Apple, Google, in Westport, Allegan, that's why they were all in Ireland, because they were basically paying no taxes.
Well, they're still, they're not paying no tax, but they're still here. Their workers are paying over 50% income tax, but the corporations are paying nothing. I take that point.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why Trump said there's all this money from the American companies. He wanted to encourage them to come back to America, which makes sense. I mean, we're happy that these companies are here. Because of the jobs. Allegan fuels Westport because there's a couple of thousand people working there, and every week they get their paychecks. They're buying homes, cars, going to restaurants. The corporation, the wealthy, is paying. I mean, we went through the farcical thing with Apple not paying us $15 billion. We fought them.
I know that argument as well. Yeah, Phil O'Dwyer, I want to bring more people in. This is no reflection, Phil. Please stay there if you can. Phil, in Michigan, okay. Michigan went for Trump the last time by
17,000 votes out of 9 million.
But it still went from on the Electoral College. On the Electoral College rules, those 17,000 votes were worth a lot of votes in the Electoral College. What way do
Biden
you think it's going?
Up 9 percentage points today in Michigan.
Phil, a simple question for you. You're in Michigan. I believe the capital is Detroit, correct?
The capital is Lansing.
Lansing, okay, excuse me. But Detroit, big city in Michigan.
It's the big city, right.
It's been under the Democrat control for about 75 years, at least. How is Detroit doing today? Have the Democrats
Detroit
done a good
doing
job?
Fine.
Detroit is
doing fine. You see, this is another canard that you hear from the right-wing people.
I'm trying
to tie every city that's run by a Democrat in every state. This is total Trumpian mentality. Trump, for example, refused to give money to the fires in California because it's a Democratic state run by a Democratic governor, until he was finally forced to do so by public opinion. So this is a continuous kind of an old trick.
That's not true. No public opinion. Gavin Newsom, a very liberal governor of California, praised Trump. He praised Trump for all the help Trump has given him with COVID and with the fires. He praised him.
Well, let me explain why that happened. Because if you don't praise Trump, we learned that from the folks in the Middle East, you've got to praise him and massage his ego, otherwise you get nothing. So he was able to get significantly more than the governor of New York, for example, another Democratic governor, who was more forceful and more direct in his criticism of the president. So Gavin Newsom handled politics very well. He praised him as far as his ego, and then he got his money.
Why should the President of the United States be giving money to people in the Middle East? You asked me on that.
Well, no, he wasn't giving money to the people in the Middle East. What when they invited
well, they give
him
a lot,
over,
they give a lot of money to Israel
on billboards and everything else, and was an eminently successful event from his point of view. Ego makes a big difference for lots of people, including the president.
Okay, stay with us. Tom okay. McNally, stay there. Joe Huff is in Maryland. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What way? Have you voted already?
I have not voted.
Okay. And
but I will be voting on Election Day. And I will be voting for Donald Trump.
And I see from your note here, you're campaigning for him as well.
Yes. And Donald Trump, I was his delegate last election. And I was the author, one of the 112 authors of the Republican Party platform, and I was a delegate to the RNC convention this election and on the platform again, even though we didn't change the platform.
It's a dreadful line. What reaction are you getting on the doorsteps, Joe?
Well, it's where I'm campaigning, I have very positive responses for Trump. It's in the cities where we don't get such positive results.
In the cities?
That's pretty normal.
Okay, and when you do get negative, what are they saying?
Very similar to what Bill in Michigan was saying about Obama built, or that Trump built the cages, but the fact is Obama built those cages, and when the people came from out of the United States and into the United States, they were taking children.
Okay, no, I don't want to go into the
sex trafficking.
Given it's such a big issue in every country, is COVID a big issue on the doorsteps?
Yes, it is a huge issue. And one of the things is on January 6th, the Health and Human Service Secretary, Alex Azar, he offered help from America to China, and China declined American scientists to go over and assist with the containment of, they didn't call it COVID-19 at that time.
Joe, I'm going to try and get a better line. It's very unfair on you that the line is so bad. We'll try. John Deegan is in Kilbeggan. Joe at RT.ie. John.
Joe, no, your first contributor there mentioned at the very start that the US was energy independent.
Yeah.
That's actually rubbish. The US uses approximately 17 to 18 million barrels of oil a day.
Okay.
They were producing up until COVID struck about 13 million barrels of oil, and that included about 6 or 7 coming from the fracking industry.
Okay.
The fracking industry now is practically dead and dying and will be gone in the next 12 months unless oil prices go up. So, I mean, what they were doing, of course, is because the fracking oil is actually not suitable for distillates and for in the U.S., they actually were exporting an awful lot of that to refineries outside the U.S., but they were importing the same quantity into the U.S. because their own refineries in the U.S. can't take the light oil that's produced by fracking. So the heavy oil coming from the Middle East and other places are going in there. So in actual fact, there's a one-third, over 30% deficit in U.S. oil production, even when they were at their highest.
Even though Trump used the exact same line in last Thursday's debate with Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, that's absolute rubbish. And I mean, if you want, I've been studying this for the last 25 years, and I read a lot of independent people who take all of the returns going into the U.S. State every month.
And it's oil and gas as well.
Yeah, but oil is the main source of energy used for transportation and everything else. There is a surplus of gas, yes, but there's not a lot you can do with that.
Yeah,
that's why they're trying to build the
oil makes the windmills run too.
That's what that's what they're trying to import into Limerick at the moment, because they're able to import it. They can put it on the ships and import it or export it to other countries. They're trying to get rid of gas because they have so much of it, to be fair. But, I mean, oil, they can't run their transport industries without oil, and that is going to, there's going to be a serious shortage of oil if there's a slight uptick in the economy, which there probably will be over the next few years. So, but I mean, you were talking earlier about Trump, and Trump, I have quite a few small business people from my own area who are living in different parts of the US, and I was talking to them over the last 12 or 18 months. They're all voting for Trump. All their business partners are voting for Trump. Why? They're holding their nose and vote for Trump because he's reduced the regulations in relation to the environment. He doesn't believe in climate change. And none of these things. And they're all very happy because they're making more bucks out of it at the end of the day. And a businessman wants to keep his wallet happy. He doesn't mind about the environment.
And John, it comes down to your pocketbook, does it, in the States?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, maybe it comes down to your wallet everywhere, says you.
Well, I think the problem. Well, who said it's the economy stupid? Was it Clinton or whoever
Clinton,
said it?
Clinton, yeah.
Bush. But I mean, it's also unfair to blame Trump for everything. I mean, Trump is not the cause of the problem. Trump is a symptom. I mean, the Clintons and Obama and all these people, they all failed as well. I mean, they all went in with great ideas, but I mean, they came out with nothing. They were as negligent as Trump is in a lot of areas. I mean, they started wars. At least Trump has tried to stop wars in the Middle East. He's taken American troops out of Afghanistan, Iraq, all these places. He's trying to fight. Now, I know, I'm not sure why he's doing it, but he seems to be doing it. And that's one, Ben.
He never takes out as many as he claims he's going to take out.
Well, sure, that is possibly
bring
true.
Home. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But John, why are you saying you would support Trump?
No, I'm not.
Hold your nose.
No.
You say that your pals, your colleagues or whatever in the States.
Yeah, my friends would know him, yes. They're holding, and I was talking, and like a lot of them would know a lot of other small business people in around different places in the US. And they're all covert Trump supporters. They won't be having...
And does his handling of the coronavirus pandemic influence people?
Never. I haven't really been talking to them since that particular thing started, to be quite honest with you, so I don't really know. But I don't know, because I was actually talking to a friend of mine whose wife had COVID. She was a nurse in a New York hospital, and they didn't appear to have any major problems. I mean, I think, again, at the end of the day, they didn't expect Trump to handle this any better or worse than anyone else at the end of the day.
Okay. And let's not forget, Joe, that President Trump had COVID himself.
Yeah, in other words, he couldn't even protect himself from COVID.
Have we done a good job in this country?
Hang on. He is the President of the United States of America. He has the most incredible security protection protocols around him that go on. If he's going to Iowa in it depends on the election. If you're going in Iowa in December, they're organising it now. And my point is, he couldn't even protect himself from coronavirus because he wouldn't wear a mask. He wouldn't encourage people to wear a mask. And he knew, by the way, even though nobody would wish it on anybody, but when he did get coronavirus, he got, without exception, the best medical care in the world, in the whole wild earthly world, as the Healy Rays say. He got the best medical care. And then he trumpets out saying, I defeated coronavirus. Why did he get it in the first place?
Because it shows you, if he can get it, anybody can get it, Joe.
He isn't anybody. He is the President of the United States of America, the most powerful, the most protected man in the world. Full stop.
That's the point. So if he can get it, anybody can get it.
But he got it because he was reckless.
He wasn't reckless. I mean, when I hear this argument...
Has Angela Merkel got it? Has Emmanuel Macron got it?
Boris Johnson got it, didn't he?
Way back, and he was stupid as well. He's the one, he boasted right back at the start in March, April, he boasted about going into hospitals, shaking the hands of people who had COVID-19, shaking hands, and then he got it.
Joe, Italy and Spain have been decimated by COVID.
Have the prime ministers of either of those countries got it?
No, but I haven't heard, I don't know who the prime minister
so why,
is.
So why,
Italy
why,
is right
why,
now.
Tom?
But why
do you?
Isn't the media saying that these people It's not Trump's fault.
But why are you using, and he did it himself, of course, Trump did it himself. Why did he turn it from the fact that he got coronavirus into a boast? He turned it into a boast. I got coronavirus. Look at the way I bet it. It's not an issue. Don't panic. Don't get hysterical. Look at me. I feel better than I ever... He was high on whatever they gave him. I feel better than I did 30 years ago. Let me back on the stump. Throw away your masks. Blah, blah. Fauci.
No, he never
Fauci.
Said throw away your masks.
Well,
he's
never said to anyone in a crowd, listen, guys, will everyone put on their masks? He called Fauci an idiot. He completely misreads and misinterprets and misspeaks what Fauci actually said about masks going way back.
But I've also seen clips when San Francisco was shut down. Nancy Pelosi had the hairdressers open and she's wandering around.
Nancy Pelosi is not running for president.
Dianne Feinstein is one of the top Democrats.
Nancy Pelosi is not running for president.
I watched Joe Biden yesterday on a clip at an airport walk after the cameras were off. He's with about 40 people shaking hands and no mask.
I'd love to see that footage. Okay, maybe it's there. Phil O'Dwyer.
Yep.
Maybe I'm evidence of it in picking people up all the time, but can there be rational, I include myself in this, can there be rational debate about Trump and Biden at this stage?
It turns out that I think we are having the most bitter election that at least I have seen 11 presidential elections. This is by far the most bitter. And I think that bitterness is awakened because Trump inflames everybody. Every difference that exists amongst people and on issues, he inflames it. You find out then, 3 days later, of course, what he said was a lie. And I think the bitterness level in the country is severe right now. And most people cannot talk civilly about this election. And, in my practice, for example, I have tons of patients.
You're a psychologist,
who are struggling with anxiety around this. Mm. Anxiety about the country, the direction of the country, the bitterness, the COVID, the fear of getting the COVID. Looking on television every night at rallies that the president has that are called super spreaders. They're just spreading the virus across the country. No masks, and so this is a real problem. And then when he says that he has no confidence in the election, and he's not going to accept the results of the election. That is the most egregious thing of all time.
And what's going to happen?
For a president of the United States to say that he will not accept the result of the election. So we have a lot of people who are very worried about the future.
John, you're talking about Trump. And I'm an independent, but I back Trump because 3.5 years, he did a good job. I look at Joe Biden, 47 years, 8 of it as vice president. But everybody I know, in Boston's Democratic City, if you're a Trump supporter, you're a right-wing loon, you're a racist, you're a super spreader, you don't believe in climate change. Hillary called us deplorables.
Well, Trump has said he doesn't believe in climate change.
To the extreme. I was completely against the Paris Accord, but it's a whole other conversation. But everybody that's honest will know, if I'm walking in a city in America with a Trump hat and somebody is with me in a Biden hat, wearing a Biden hat, I'm about 95% more likely to be attacked.
Why?
Wearing a Trump hat.
Why?
Because the left, that's how they...
Bill O'Donoghue's contact is on a cell phone in Wisconsin. Bill, I know there will be delay. If you can, tell us who you voted for and tell us about the State of the Union at the minute as you see it.
How are you? Yeah. I would be a Democratic voter for the last two elections. I've been out here 30 years. I just had a couple of quick comments from my perspective. One is that when people talk about democratic cities and when they talk about democratic states, they're really talking about black states. That's the fear that's in people, right? So the fear is, Chicago have a high black population, they're a democratic state, so or a democratic city, so it's run badly and it's this and it's that. It's pure racism when these people say that. So I want you to say that first. And the second thing is, you know, when we talk about where we're at today as a country, I mean, clearly we're divided, we're upset, we're nervous. You know, my son is working for the Democratic Party in North Carolina. And I made some calls, and what I found is that many people who would have been Republicans have said, you know, that they're voting Democrat this time round, and that's clearly because of the direction that Trump has taken that party. And I might say how disappointed I am in that party, that they have followed him in all his erratic, sometimes insane actions. The Republican Party have supported him, and that's the most disappointing thing, and that's the most divisive thing that has happened, is that when he was elected, you know, we thought he'd do his thing, but the Republican Party would hold true to their values, and they haven't. They've held true to Trump's values, which are zero. So that's really all I had to say.
And you know of anyone, Bill, who has gone from, given these incredible figures that Tom talks about, and indeed Trump talks about before, as he calls it, the China virus, do you know anyone who's gone from Democrat to Republican, from blue to red?
No, I honestly don't. I do know some police officers in Chicago that would have gone that direction. So yes, I guess the answer is yes. They would be police officers who do not feel too comfortable right now with what they believe the Democratic focus is. So,
and why would that be? Do you honestly believe Chicago is a well-run city with the violence in it?
Chicago is a well-run city. Chicago has many problems, just like East Coast cities have. But if you believe, you know, if you want to believe some crazy statistics that Trump will throw at you, then you will think it's badly run. Chicago is a well-run city.
I'm a friend
that
lives in Chicago. It's on the news every weekend.
If you look at the percentages of homicides, etc., per capita, Chicago is way below many other cities. So every city has problems. Every city has issues. But, you know, could it be run better? Of course. But you can't necessarily just say it's a democratic city, so it's badly run.
What you mean is it's a black city. That's what you're really saying.
No, it's
not to do with color. You're obsessed with color. It's a badly run city. It's democratic control.
With color at all. But I do realize that when Trump supporters say democratic, they're basically talking about immigrants or they're talking about people of color. So,
I'm an immigrant. There's lots of white people that are immigrants. Joe Biden's the man that told people, you ain't black.
I'm an immigrant, just so you know.
But it was Joe Biden that said, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. It's an outrageous statement. You're not black if you don't vote for me.
But
it's
if you
outrageous.
Compare that to the statements made by your leader, the bottom line is, you have children separated from their parents. You have a people. His base have been they've been gathered up so that they can focus their fears of immigrants and fears of color, and they can now come out and do whatever they need to do, whether it means running from Illinois to Wisconsin with an M15 or whatever it was to shoot people. So, I mean, this is a direct result of having the president that had got elected with a base of people who have systematically been feared into a racist situation.
Here we go again. Anybody that votes for Trump, we're racist. He has white people, he is Hispanic, he is Asians, he is black people voting for him. Race has nothing to do with it.
He's based predominantly white and male, right?
Right.
And if you go back, Tom, to I know you're saying, Biden, he was vice president, but you keep saying because he was
47 years in politics.
Okay,
so.
I take that point. I know.
He's going to fix everything.
But if you go back to Donald A. Trump's inauguration speech, where he spoke about ending the carnage in our cities. Do you think the cities are better than they were 4 years ago?
Before COVID, in Baltimore, Chicago, Tim Scott, a senator from South Carolina, he brought in these empowerment zones where Trump pumped billions and billions, largely into black areas. Unemployment amongst the black population in America, it was the lowest in the history of the country. He's pumped billions. He just signed a deal for the black universities in America.
The American carnage stops right here and stops right now. That was January the 20th, 2017.
But the cities and the states, in the last 6 months, Joe, all these protests and all these violence, Portland, they took over parts of Seattle.
I know.
Trump can't win. He's been bringing it up. Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, he won't ask for Trump to send in the federal troops.
I want to bring in another Trump supporter. Joe Huff is back on, hopefully a better line. Joe,
yes, hello.
Good to hear you again. You'll be out campaigning for Donald Trump today.
Yes.
And what's that like in terms of the reaction you're getting?
Positive reaction, even though Maryland is a blue state.
And how blue is Maryland, so to speak?
Well, it's very blue. Trump did not win last election in Maryland. But that's okay. We still have the silent majority here in Maryland as well as the rest of the United States. And to get back to your comment about Joe Biden saying, if you're not black, if you're black and don't vote for me, or you're not black,
that was in one conversation.
2020.
That was in a conversation with a journalist, wasn't it?
I don't think it was
a speech he made, so to speak.
Yeah, at the Breakfast Club.
But in terms, you make the point that Maryland is a Democrat state, is a blue state. But did Donald Trump make any, as far as you can see, in terms of the campaign, in terms of the presidential elections, the presidential debates, this was a point made by Owen Harris 3 weeks ago on News Talk after the first debate, Donald Trump never made an effort to woo Democratic voters, our middle-of-the-road voters, our undecided voters. He plays, now he changed a little bit last Thursday, but he continually plays to his own base. Now, okay, Joe, go ahead.
No, he doesn't. He includes everyone. Not all black voters are Democrats.
Oh, right?
Not all Hispanic voters are Democrats. Not all people who come here are Democrats.
And he has been making the play
for people who are independent, undecided, even Democrats, because the Democrat Party has people have left the Democrat Party because it's no longer the party that my parents grew up in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's changed. They're liberal. And if you have a different opinion than these unhinged, triggered liberals, then they're screaming in your face, they're coming close to my car, and they're flipping me off, they're screaming obscenities out, you know, at me while we're driving at 70 plus miles an hour. It's like you can't even have a Trump bumper sticker on your car and people are harassing you and terrorizing you. It's a real issue.
And what do they do?
They are going with this cancel culture that they don't want any other voice other than their own.
And what happens to your car if you have a Trump bumper sticker, Joe, in Maryland? What happens?
Well, this is what I'm telling you. I have had the same Trump bumper sticker on from the first election, and I've had men come up to me in their cars, come very close to my car, dangerously close, where our mirrors are almost touching, and they flip me off, they scream obscenities out the window at me, and I've had one guy who was actually an Elizabeth Warren supporter. He had a rental car, or actually a service car from a dealership while his car was being worked on. He followed me and terrorized me in my car for over 25 minutes.
And
he was terrorizing me. And then when he finally got up to me, he made sexual gestures to me and screamed obscenities out the window. These people are totally triggered and unhinged. They're crazy.
And it's the same across the entire country, Joe. So if you have a sign up in Massachusetts, it's getting ripped down. Even though we're hoping Massachusetts is actually going to vote for Trump.
Yeah, and the other thing is, these Trump signs, the Trump signs that I've been putting out all over Maryland, people are literally stealing them, spray painting them, destroying them,
who do you think is doing that?
Against the law.
Who do you think is doing that?
Democrats and liberals. I mean, as fast as I put these Trump signs up, people are stealing.
You see, it happens here. It happens in every democracy. Posters are pulled down. Now, in Ireland, we have the unusual phenomenon that the poster is normally pulled down by the other candidate for the same party in your area. But
But are they literally burning them up?
And Joe, when you were being terrorized by this Elizabeth Warren supporter, did you ring law enforcement? Were you minded to ring law enforcement?
I couldn't get the front license plate number to call the police, and because he had a car from the dealership.
Okay. Do you think if President Trump is defeated next Tuesday, well, we might not know the result for many weeks afterwards. Do you think he will hand over power peacefully?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mary, good afternoon. I know you're in Dublin, but your daughter has an involvement in the States. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, my daughter and son both work in the States. They're both immigration lawyers in Chicago. And so I'd kind of keep up to date somewhat on I think we all are, with what's going on over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact alone that Dr. Fauci and his family and children need 24-hour protection
when they
go about their day. That is a sad state of affairs. And I think for that alone would be enough for any sane person not to vote this man in. You know, I mean, could you imagine, just imagine Dr. Houlihan has to have 24-hour protection for himself and his family going around Dublin or Ireland or whatever, all because Micheál Martin has got up with such derogatory remarks about him that he needs protection. I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Dr. Fauci works for President Trump, so how would it be Trump supporters
for President Trump? But
so maybe it's the Democrats.
Dr. Trump has called him an idiot. He doesn't pay any attention to what advice the man gives. You know, our chief medical officer gave advice there last week that we should close down, and the government didn't listen to him. And there was uproar here because our government didn't listen to our chief medical officer.
Surely the big difference, and I don't want to personalise here either, but surely the big difference between the States and here is that we don't have guns. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It was like that the governor down in
people don't fire off in guns in Ireland. They fire off calls to radio programs and they fire off letters to the newspapers to say they disagree with A, B, or C.
Look at the governor in Michigan. She as well is on 24-hour protection for herself and her family. They tried to kidnap her. I mean, this is fact. This is not. And why has all this happened? Because of the rhetoric out of the nastiness that's coming out of this man's mouth. The president of America, if they are not things alone for to say, I'm not going to vote for this man, or the children down in the cages in Dilley. My daughter's firm, they went down there to these children and saw them. Lawyers are fighting in the courts for essential items, toothbrushes for these children. They ripped children from their parents' arms, breastfed children. Fact. That is fact. Anybody who tells you anything different are lying. They cannot find nearly 600 sets of parents from these children. They are gone. Cannot find them. I mean, what? What is that? All I can tell you is Americans over there are voting for Trump. All they're interested in is this 401k, which is their pension or whatever. That's all he's interested in. And these that vote for him, I can see, that's all they're interested in. He has divided families in America. Happy families. It has never happened in
it's
the past
not,
where families don't talk to each other
because of
Trump since he got in. I am not talking rubbish. Look, anybody that supports Trump supports racism, hatred. You cannot support this man and say you do not support. There's systemic racism in the States, and that's going to be fixed, hopefully, when Biden gets in.
Joe Biden and Barack Obama deported 800,000 people a year, more than double what Trump did. They built the cages on the border.
Look,
they built
my
the
daughter
cages.
Has all the facts and the figures about all of this. And I can tell you, Joe, you should give her a call, and she'd be able to tell you all the facts and figures in relation to the immigrants and the cages and the deportations.
And are you saying,
and what's on.
Are you
I'm
saying,
not an immigration lawyer.
I know,
just,
I understand that, Mary. But Mary, are you saying your daughter's taking a case against Trump and the American government?
She has sued Trump successfully on a number of occasions.
Over what?
She was the Muslim ban. She was straight to the airport for that. She was the one, she led that the Muslim ban in the airport. That time she did all the...
When he did ban Muslims, what he said.
He banned Muslims.
No, he banned people coming from certain countries. He banned people from Europe. He banned people from Ireland. Did you not know that?
Yeah, but he didn't.
He banned people from Ireland and Europe.
In fairness, Tom, he didn't ban Americans coming home from China or Ireland or Italy or France. How did the virus get into the country?
He wouldn't be allowed to ban Americans from coming back from foreign countries, Joe. They're U.S. citizens. They have to be allowed.
Well, that's what I mean. So we can't say his ban was more effective because it wasn't 100% ban by any.
You know who the NAACP is?
And the countries he banned people from were Muslim majority.
Yeah. And let me tell you,
Obama,
my daughter had to get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but Barack Obama
before.
Yeah,
Barack Obama
for that Muslim ban. And that
Barack
Muslim
Obama
ban, there were people in
coming
the
from
air.
The same countries.
There was American citizens in the air, Muslims, with babies. My daughter was out there at the time trying to get them cleared because it happened at the flick of a switch. He did it just instantly. And as he does, he thinks it's a good idea maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's doing whatever he's doing and he's tweeting away. But he thought this was a good idea, this Muslim ban. And she was out at the airport trying to get people in. One woman had a baby, an American citizen, because they were Muslim. It wasn't even thought out. He just did it. And that's the way that man operates.
Okay, stay with us. More callers, including those trying to get you on their cell phones from the States. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Natasha Doyle is contacting us from Boston and Massachusetts. Natasha, you're listening, I hope, to some of the debate. What way will you vote, can I ask?
Sorry, Joe. I will. I'm actually listening in New Hampshire,
right.
But I will vote for Biden.
Why?
My husband will vote Trump.
Your husband will vote Trump, and you? Okay. Do you want to bring me into the breakfast table and give me the rehearse the arguments?
Well, you know, it's very divisive and it's very serious and people over here, you know, years ago people were kind of, you know, you could laugh or joke about, you know, Trump in the White House and now people don't. It's very personal, it's very serious. People have very, very strong opinions and it's almost to the point of, you know, you simply cannot talk politics over here.
Wow.
Because, you know, friendships are lost. People, you know, start to dislike each other. It's a crazy time, and you know, my husband and I are not going to agree on this.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, you know, if the debate is on, you know, he'll say something and I'll say something, and we'll just go our separate ways.
And
because I'm not going to change his mind, he's not going to change my mind, and that's really how it is over here.
So why, can you explain to me why your husband is voting for Trump? As far as you know.
Well, you know, I think a lot, he and a lot of people like him, they think that Trump has finally, you know, stood up to China. He's stood up to to, you know, for the economy. He's set up for the U.S. He doesn't take any nonsense from people. You know, they like his financial, you know, policies. They're all afraid of, you know, the capital gains tax that they say Biden will bring in next year. So a lot of people will vote with their pocket. And he'll vote. My husband will vote with his pocket. And he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like Trump as a person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think Trump is kind of crazy, but they like his policies.
And if I was to ask your husband why your wife, Natasha, is voting for Joe Biden, what would your husband tell me?
I think he would say, because I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I think he would say...
Is that grounds, Natasha?
Huh?
Is that grounds for divorce?
It might be, Joe, it might be.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. You say, okay, tell me what you think he would say as to why you're voting in the completely polar opposite way to he is. And vice versa. But I asked you the first question about why why would he say you are voting for Democrats?
Because he thinks that, I suppose he probably thinks I'm a bit of a liberal, a bleeding heart liberal. He believes, you know, you work hard for what you get. You don't take handouts. You put in your time and you get the reward. And I feel more strongly like, you know, you help people who are in need and you sort of you support other people. And I mean, he just doesn't believe that. So I think he just doesn't think that I feel strongly enough about sort of money to vote the way he does.
And New Hampshire, how's New Hampshire going?
New Hampshire is so funny because I live in southern New Hampshire. There's a Trump superstore in our town. All of my neighbors have Trump signs everywhere.
All
of the towns around me are Trump signs.
A Trump superstore?
So Trump superstore where you can buy hats and...
bumper stickers and T-shirts and...
Bumper stickers and sweatshirts and tracksuit bags and billboards. And when I tell you that, I mean, it is so crazy busy in there. Across from the Trump Superstore, the Biden supporters have sort of set up shop and they're out waving their flags.
And, for example, the media in the newspapers normally take an editorial position, don't they? Your local, it's probably a bigger newspaper than anything in Ireland, but your newspaper, what way would they be going editorially?
The leading conservative Manchester newspaper just came out this week, and they came out in favour of Biden against Trump.
And did that come as a surprise?
Sort of, because, I think that New Hampshire traditionally is a conservative state.
And you still think New Hampshire will go for Trump?
I would be surprised if New Hampshire did not go for Trump.
Okay, and how many electoral college votes does New Hampshire have, do you know?
You're asking the wrong person. Okay, I think a lot, because it's one of the key states that they do the primaries in.
Okay, that's true. It's normally the first one. Because the popular vote doesn't actually determine it in the states. It's an electoral college vote,
correct.
which is weighted in terms of the smaller states, but not as dramatically weighted as, for example, the two Senate seats in every state. But it is weighted, and that's why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Donald Trump won a landslide in the electoral college vote, because the winner takes it all, as we mentioned earlier, for the 17,000. Does your husband know you're on national radio in Ireland saying these things about him?
He's actually outside saying with the dog, and I told him, he's just taking a break from work, and I told him that I was going on the radio, and he just threw his eyes up to heaven and laughed and walked outside the door.
Okay, and he wouldn't come on and tell me, no, he wouldn't speak to me.
Well, let me see if he will.
Ted Doyle. Is it Ted Doyle? I'm Ted Saffs. Ted, good afternoon.
Yeah, it's Ted Schbeck. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hiya. Joe's my name, Ted. Now, Natasha,
hi,
I don't know whether you have a game in the States. We used to have it here in Ireland called Mr. and Mrs., where the husband would be put into this cone of silence and he couldn't hear what answers his wife was giving about him and vice versa. Now, you didn't hear anything Natasha said in the last 10 minutes, did you, Ted? Okay. You were out playing
with the dog. I was outside walking the dog.
I asked Natasha why she thinks Ted, her beloved husband, is voting for Donald Trump. What do you think she said?
Oh, it's got to be about money. It's about taxes and the economy.
Mm-hmm. You're correct. That's correct.
Was that correct?
Yeah. And then I asked her what you would say if I asked you why she is voting for Joe Biden. What would you say? Why do you think Natasha is voting?
Well, I would say that she's a lovely Irish national and she doesn't get the vote in the U.S.
Well, she's supporting Joe Biden.
She's supporting Joe Biden.
Why?
I would say because I think that she thinks that Donald Trump is a lying, egotistical, racist ruler. Something like that.
Okay, and she said in terms of what you would say, she said you might regard her as a liberal.
Okay.
Now, she's also clear, she believes that Trump will win New Hampshire.
Oh, yes, Trump will win New Hampshire, for sure.
Okay. And you want to expand on why you're voting for Donald Trump, Ted?
Well, I haven't actually, Joe, decided who I'm voting for yet because the election is not till next week. But one of the things I don't like about Mr. Biden's proposed policies is his intention to raise taxes on the capital gains and to raise taxes on retirement savings. And, I already pay a lot of taxes and I'm not interested in paying more taxes.
And I think it's very easy
for the candidate who's not in the office to judge how the candidate who is in the office has done relative to COVID and the pandemic. And it's a lot harder to do things than to criticize them.
Okay. And Ted, how has your family done under Donald Trump?
Very good, actually.
Your tax, your pocketbook, your amount you pay in taxes, has that gone down?
It's actually better.
In other words, you're paying less tax, you believe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my medical expenses are higher thanks to Mr. Obama.
Okay. And what about the handling of the coronavirus? Is that as big an issue as we in the States, as we perceive it to be in the States? Do you follow me? Is it a pivotal issue?
I think it is a big issue, of course. And, of course, Mr. Trump has not done. He could have used the power of his office to, minimize the impact to the U.S. much more to the extent that he has. He blew that one, if you will.
I suspect Natasha might be able to convince you before next Tuesday, Ted, maybe not to vote for Trump, but maybe to abstain.
Well, I know people that are doing that, Joe, that are saying, I'm not going to vote for either one because a vote for nobody is a vote for, I don't know. I think you got to have your vote heard, right?
But are they going from Trump to abstain or from Democrat to abstain?
No, I know people that have voted for Trump in the last election who have told me that they're voting for neither.
Wow.
Because they don't want to vote for Biden, but they don't feel comfortable reelecting Trump.
And I know you can write in your own candidate, can't you?
Yes. How do you spell your last name?
Your wife's first name is Natasha. Natasha Doyle. I might be right from what she said. I think she would make a very you'd make a very good candidate. Yourself.
Yeah, I think she would actually.
Yourself, Ted. Yeah. Ted, and then who do you think is going to win?
Oh, I actually think Joe Biden will win.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
why?
I do.
Why are you going on opinion polls, which are discredited from the last time? What are you going on?
No,
are you going
no,
on what
no,
you're
I,
hearing?
I think that the number one signal is that Trump has already said that. He basically has said if he doesn't win, then he's going to call into question the balloting process and the election So he must be planning that he's not going to win. And, you know, in the current environment where many people are unemployed and many people are sick, you know, a lot of people believe that a different leader would do a better job. So I think the time is, you know, very unfortunate for Mr. Trump. But with the current pandemic, it's not likely that he'll be reelected. Though if you drove around the streets, you know, here in New Hampshire and America, there are many supporters in the road every day with flags and banners and sitting outside. And you mostly see them for Trump.
But still you believe Joe Biden has it, even though you're inclined towards Trump yourself.
Yeah, but I haven't decided exactly who to vote for yet.
But did you vote for him last time, Ted?
I did.
Okay. And Ted, if Trump is defeated next Tuesday, well, the results will be a long time coming, it looks like. Do you not think we're in for a very dangerous time between November 3 and January 20? When
that's a good point. He could get impeached in 8 weeks. That's a good point.
Well, he could refuse. Well, I know there's all the checks and balances with the Senate and the House of Representatives, but it could be a very, very difficult period. Anyway, Ted, by the way, have you? I'm presuming Natasha's from Ireland, is she?
She is. She's okay. From Renmore, Galway.
Oh, Renmore. Yeah. Have you ever been in Ireland?
Yeah. Oh, many times.
And what do you think? What do you think of Irish politics?
I think as corrupt as any other.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I don't understand Irish politics well. Natasha's father was very quite involved in. Is it the Liberal or Labour Party?
Okay.
Yeah. He was a big supporter of the Labour Party.
Well, the Labour Party in Ireland would be, what was it?
Libertarian.
Yeah, but it would be very, in American terms, it would be regarded as very, very left-wing. Very left-wing.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a great country, so you're very fortunate. People are lovely. Country is lovely.
Okay, and I hope the coronavirus, as you know, is affecting everyone in the world. So condolences if you know anyone who's suffered under with this awful virus that's hitting everyone in the world. Bernie Sanders, I think, would be the closest to the Irish Labour Party in the States at the minute, but that's he was beaten in the primaries by Joe Biden, as we know. Okay, Ted, stay safe, and Natasha as well.
Okay.
Kind Thank regards yourself. To you both. Yeah, likewise. That's Natasha and Natasha Doyle and Ted Salves. As you say, Ted is inclined towards Trump, but he's changing. He's thinking. And Natasha is inclined towards Biden, even though she doesn't actually have a vote. Final words with Trump supporter Roger Blunt from Colorado, originally a member of the military, as his father was. Roger, why are you voting for Donald Trump?
Well, that's a good question, Joe. I like Trump. I like his stand on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
I'm a small pro-business voter. Always have been. And I believe that the way that government works in the United States, in Congress, is that the majority runs the agenda, especially in the House.
Mm-hmm.
All those committees' chairmen
are
today Democrats.
Okay, and who do you think will win next Tuesday?
That's a good question, Joe.
Give me a quick fire answer. I'm over time.
I think I go back and forth.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
I think Trump will win.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Roger Blunt.